Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
We want to thank Factor for sponsoring Play Retro. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your first box.
There's Defender, a space battle game made by Williams Electronics on the north side. The object is to fly over your planet, shooting down the enemy spacecraft, which are trying to capture your humanoids.
Well, when you're playing the game, you always get the green men down at the bottom so that they don't pick up your men and turn into mutants, because when that happens, you can give up the game, because when you lose your world, there's no way of getting out of it.
The planet can blow up.
Yeah, the planet can blow up and you go into space.
God, ain't that the truth.
You go into space.
You go into space.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro. And I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I'm expected to save all these little green men's lives. Well, maybe you could cut down on the drug-fueled light show and give me less buttons to push. Oh, fine. Here's another quarter.
Nah, five buttons. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I think a hyperspace ride into an ambush of angry alien mutants made up of humans I didn't save from the planet's surface. Shh. Don't worry. I'll shoot you now. Die, alien half-breed. Pew, pew, pew. No, Groot. It's my turn. Groot. My favorite reference to Defender is in the Marvel universe.
Is it?
Groot playing the Defender.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He won't stop. He won't stop, baby.
That's right. He's got the little handheld version of it or something, doesn't he? What's he playing that on?
No.
No.
I think he's just playing it on the that's not right. Now you're making me misremember.
I thought he had a little Game Boy or a PSP or something. Hold on. Groot with game machine.
With Defender.
Oh, that's even, yeah, you'll get that faster probably. Let's see.
There he is. You're right. It looks like, they showed a little handheld. You're right.
It is a handheld. Okay.
Look at that thing. That is so sweet, too. That's what, like a little, it? it's so like aged and everything. It looks like you could, it's about the size of, what's a good reference? If you're old like us, remember the Star Wars flight stick? Yeah, it's about that size.
Yeah, that's about right. Ooh, it's very nice.
If you're younger, it looks like a iPad mini. How about that?
Yeah, I'd play that in space if I were Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Groot, but he's a teenager
now. I am
now.
Vin Diesel.
He's a teenager version of himself now, and he's kind of weird looking. I don't know if I like the design of it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be awkward, so I guess that's a thing.
That's the idea.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, the new one, he's kind of buffed out now, and he was in the Christmas special on the trailer for the new movie.
It's fine.
I just kind of like old seasoned Groot before he got blown to smithers and had to be a new Groot.
I did too. It's always, which makes the more interesting story. I don't know. Do you watch What We Do in the Shadows? This is really getting off topic.
I love that show.
Yeah, I love it too. The energy vampire on there.
Colin Robinson. He's the best.
Colin Robinson. Yeah. That's right. Well, look at you. You do all this stuff with it. Colin Robinson. I thought it was kind of hilarious how they re-brought him back up, because it reminds me with the big head and everything.
Yeah.
Reminds me like the NBA Jam stuff and the ludicrous things and all those things when people were doing all the big hit stuff. It was fun.
Oh yeah, big head 90s. That was awesome. If you had any cheats or codes for your game, it was always big heads. That was for a while there. That was all the rage. You want a giant head? We got you. It's the 90s.
We got you covered.
Yep. So we're going to talk about Defender. That's coming up. Defender's a big deal in gaming history, and we have a lot to say about it. But before we do, I just want to mention a quick thing. I finally got Game Pass running properly on my Steam Deck. It turns out when I had my Steam Deck and played it a bunch and then had it break, you know, I broke it, okay? It wasn't the machine's fault. And I had to send it to Steam to get it fixed, or to Valve. The one thing I tried to do before all that was get it running Game Pass as a, you know, right. X Cloud version of Game Pass. And I never could get it working exactly right. It was kind of fishy and fruity, and one of the updates kind of borked it, and it was just not going great. And I kind of just...
Wait. Yeah. You said fishy and fruity. Uh-huh. Does that mean you're combining the two, or are you saying it could be fishy and or fruity? Because fishy and fruity, that makes me laugh.
You don't want to have like you want to have like an open salmon with like some
sounds disgusting. I can't...
It sounds
look,
pretty bad.
Like fish and some kind of fruit? Yeah. I can imagine it, but when you say fruity... I think of bubble gum.
yeah, fruity licious. No, fruity.
Yeah, fruity licious. That's my favorite gum.
Everybody remember fruity licious?
Fruity licious.
I'm sure.
What you chewing over there? Some fruity licious.
Yeah, those are the commercials. All right. Anyway, what was my point? Oh, so it never worked right, and so when I sent that in to get fixed, and I had to wipe the whole thing. Right, all my retro stuff was wiped. All of it. It's like, fine, whatever. I'll start from scratch trying to get it back. Got it back. Got retro again. Got my games, my mainstream games on there again. All this stuff going on again. But then I just kind of let it sit on the Game Pass. I was like, well, last time it was a pain in the ass. How am I sure this is going to be any easier? And your good pal Kevin, KT Data, in the chat room and in the community sent me a little guide that was way simpler than the one I used before. Yeah. Looked it up. Ran every single command that it said to do. Did it meticulously because I didn't want to do it twice. Double checked all my syntax, you know. Don't want to have a character out of whack or a period in the wrong place, whatever. Linux bullshit. I did all of that, and it worked fine. And not only did it work fine, it's real good. It's real good.
Really?
Yeah. Shocking. I'm shocked.
That's actually, that is shocking because you're not like hooked into the dock and like using a network cable. You're just doing it over Wi-Fi,
Over Wi-Fi. Not only that, I tried it on my slower Wi-Fi connection. I have two connections here, and it ran great on the slow one. I had no latency at all. And the fast one, I couldn't tell any damn difference between the two. And I played, I don't know, speaking of Doom, we played a little Doom music in the pre-show. I played probably...
Oh, and it was so good.
Three hours of Doom Eternal on there. From 2019, and that game never glitched. I never had any kind of artifacting. I didn't have any lag or input lag. It is crazy how good it worked. So I just want to put it out there that I realize it isn't necessarily retro, but if you want to get your Game Pass on, it is. Turns out it's not as hard as I thought
that
it was.
That is not. I think it's absolutely retro because first of all, you can. There's a couple of almost retro games on the Game Pass, as well as the Steam Deck is a retro gaming machine.
Yeah. Plus, there's that big Pac-Man 40th anniversary things on there, and the Game Pass has all kinds of cool retro.
If you're a retro gamer and you don't already have a handheld, the Steam Deck is the way to go. If you can afford it.
I agree.
I know it's not super cheap, but if you can afford it, it's the way to go.
Yep. Dead Cells is so good on it. You're totally right, KT Data. So anyway, although I have that on Steam, so I don't really need to play it there. But the point is, if you're looking for low latency and a good time, call me. No, check it out. Game Pass works great. And I'll put that link somewhere in the Discord so people can get it.
Which
reminds me, go to Discord, everybody. We want more of you awesome gamer retro types in there. Get in the Frog Pants Discord, frogpants.com/Discord. And there's a whole bunch of channels. Maybe you only care about the Play Retro one. That's fine. You're welcome there. It doesn't cost anything to get in. You don't need any codes or passwords. Just go to that link I just gave you and you're in.
I feel ignorant because I just got a message I just got a message on Discord, by the way, from Skits, one of our friends, sent me a link, and I sent it to you, to the vintage 1982 arcade Defender handheld portable electronic game by Intex from Taiwan. I didn't know. I thought that was a prop they made for the movie.
What?
What? Look at the community bringing us a little information. We don't always do a lot of community stuff while we're doing the show, but
is this what Groot played, though? Groot played this?
This is the one. This looks like the one. If it's not the one, it looks very much like it.
That's so rad. What is this? C batteries in the back, it looks like?
Right? I don't know. It's a good question. Do those rotate around or something? That's what, so you could play like against people? I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
Look at
is.
All the buttons. Smart bombs.
Yeah, that's bananas. $79
Yeah,
bucks.
There's a whole bunch of these things. I've never seen them before.
It's pretty
so
banged
now
up.
I have a new thing.
This one's pretty banged up, but that price isn't bad.
I actually like the fact that it's banged up.
Yeah, I kind of do too, if I'm honest. I like that.
It kind of makes it look really freaking badass.
Yeah, go check that out. A vintage 1982 Arcade Defender Portable.
Right. And I'm going to have to look back and look now and see from the movie to see if he's actually playing with one of these or if they just kind of reimagine it for the movie. Because this thing looks awesome. It doesn't look like it's a real active screen. Those looks like it's little dots and stuff.
This is absolutely one of those Game & Watch, basically, equivalents.
Right.
That's so how those work.
Ooh, game speed control. No thanks.
Ooh, speed
how
up.
How about slower
how
Defender?
How about slow down Defender? Yeah. Good Lord, Defender. Anyway, that's what I was up to. Brian, you've been doing a little something. What do you got going on
there? Yeah, so this past week, I got turned on. Oh. Well, I was watching all this stuff about Defender and finding more about Williams and how that relates to Midway. Anyway, there was a new documentary a couple years back called Insert Coin, and it kind of outlined mostly the Midway years after they merged or after Williams took the name on of Midway, and we got into a lot of the Mortal Kombat stuff, but we did get to see some early on stuff from Williams as well. It was just a few bucks. I think it was like $3 or $4 on Voodoo's where I got it from. It's called Insert Coin. And I watched that and it was fan freaking tastic. I loved it. Those guys remind me of all of us, all of our friends. It's like they weren't necessarily close friends. They weren't all like filmed in the same room, laughing it up. It was a bunch of people who could get together and have fun, but they were also all self-starters, individuals that, you know, would do well on their own and did do well on their own. But it's a really good watch if you haven't seen it yet. And I also was really looking for the arcade 1-Up 40th anniversary Defender that they released a few years back, and I can't seem to find anywhere, but I did find one on eBay that's really tempting me. I put a picture in there in the show notes over there under picks, links and picks.
Oh yeah, look at that.
And it's the small tabletop one. It's not like the one that has the riser and everything else. This is the tabletop one. And
So when you say riser, I always think you just mean the little bit to make it tall for an adult, but you mean like the whole base when you say
Right. So this is just, this is the tabletop one. This is
I want this. This is cool.
This is freaking sweet. I can't find, they're not selling them anywhere. They're on QVC. They got clearanced out at the end of last year for like $99 and they're all gone. Now I can do is go to eBay and go, why is it $499? I want it for $99.
Damn, that's expensive. I want it though.
I just missed it, man. If I had have been paying attention, if we had done this episode last year, I could have gotten one. Be laughing all the way to the planet surface.
Well, here's the one I got.
Rescue.
Hold on. Hear that? So look at this.
I do hear that.
Here, let me put it.
Oh, it's one of those little tiny arcade things. It's like this
ornament type looking thing that you'd hang. It's got like a little thing to hang. It's got dust on it. Jeez. Anyway, you hang that on your
just like the real one
on your tree or whatever. I have like 7 of these.
All the Defender and Joust or just in general?
Just Defender. I have Joust also, and I have Galaxian. I have Galaga, Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, and.
Do you hang those in your tree? It seems like your tree would take a beating if you hung those things. They're kind of heavy looking. They're about the size of your palm. You can grab it like about the size of a cell phone, like an old flip phone cell phone.
Yeah. How big would you call it? I don't know, 1/16th scale or something? I don't know.
I would have guessed so.
But all of them have it. So if you push one of the buttons, it just does a little, like a little demo with some, it's got some screen. Nothing's moving on the screen, but it's flickering like an old screen.
Does it have like 5 buttons like the Defender did?
Yeah,
this
has got a bunch.
Plus the 2. Oh, yeah.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's basically everything about it is rendered out like that. And even the top decal thing or the top marquee
right.
Is backlit. So you get like an awesome backlight on that. Yeah, I can't see it in the camera.
Us and our toys. Little screen is cute. I see. I love these things, but really making them actually, you know, turn on and make noise is kind of useless to me because I would just like, I want to play it, but I can't with that little stick.
Yeah, there's no way of playing that. And then the ones that come with the big fat stick for your thumb, that ruins the illusion that this is a tiny little version.
Right.
You know, it looks like a toy. So
what you need to do is 3D print yourself playing. And that would be, yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, make me a little version of me.
Make yourself
116. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a printer. You'll have to make it for me.
Well, I'll make you one. Oh, but you got an iPhone. You can use some of that 3D scanning software. Scan yourself
that's
in.
True.
To me, and I'll print you out.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Those are that thing's easy to use, right? I mean, scanning's easy as long as you do it right. You do a nice 3D scan.
It gets tricksy. There's tricks to it, and you can actually 3D print some stuff that makes it easier. Some of the software only scans like from the front facing camera, which gets complicated, and then others do it from the other side, and that gets complicated. But yeah, it's possible now. It's in our hands.
The way technology should have always been. All right. Well, on that note, let's talk about Defender.
Shall we play a game?
Now, if you want to look at the simple definition, Defender is a side-scrolling, sort of back and forth, though, not one direction, shooter video game developed by Williams Electronics in 1980. It was released in arcades in 81, and the game is set on either an unnamed planet or city where the player must defend waves of invading aliens while protecting little bitty astronaut peoples.
Yep, and that's a broad stroke because the arcade was, you know, you got to go through the mountains and stuff. But the at least the Atari 2600 version had the city.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And the city, well, I have questions about why Atari does a lot of things, but it felt like Atari did that because they didn't want to spend real money on something, or no, they didn't want. They had such crap hardware. That's about the best they could do.
I think it's a lot more complicated to draw diagonal lines. That were required for mountainscapes versus just doing some blocks. I think it just comes down to economy of resources.
Yeah, there. Or the talent of the developer or the whoever had the job of converting
it. Or the time they had. Well, usually most of the times with Atari, it was like, you have 6 weeks, go.
Yep.
6 weeks.
6 weeks, and it sounded like this. My favorite thing about the sound of Defender, listen to when the enemies die. There, you hear it? They go boom, 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 boom. Like they kind of have words.
At the very beginning of the clip, when Defender first comes on, it sounds like a robot voice, and I've always tried to decrypt what it's saying. Is it actually saying anything, or is it just a noise?
Let me play it one more time and see.
I think it's just noise.
Yeah.
But it almost sounds like, all right, come on.
Put your quarters in here and let's have a good time.
Hey, you over there in the corner.
I don't know why he's like one of those auction guys going, do I hear three? Yeah, it's a very iconic sounding game. And when I would hear Defender noise, I knew I was in a good place and I was about to have fun.
Right. Then you Defender's must have been good at Defender. I sucked at it because I was one of the people who was and not. I'm a right-handed person. I'm not ambidextrous. Mm. And so looking at that controller with the up-down navigation on a horizontal scroller and then having to use a button to thrust. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't an analog button. It was, you know, it was like off, on, off, on. Then you had to hit reverse to turn around. Oh, my God. It was too many buttons. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, the game is way better played today, even in this like emulated arcade form. If you play it with, you know, an analog stick and a controller that's been mapped properly.
Right.
Then I think Defender's a better game today than it was when it was out because control on it was tricky. Now you might say, well, that's half the fun is mastering that. Sure. Whatever. Right. I don't have that many quarters to practice like that. So I was never great, but I played a lot. And what bugs me is I only played this game in arcades and then as if it never existed for me again. I never played the sequel Stargate.
Interesting.
I never played two on some of these weird NES ports and all that. I never played any other version of it. Then this week I played all of them, but Back then, I only played the original, and in my mind, there only was one Defender, and it was this week, thanks to you and our research, that I even learned that Stargate is a sequel to Defender. I didn't know that.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's, yeah, it's, I didn't know either. I didn't know anything about much about Stargate. I had seen it once or twice. I'm like, oh, look, another Defender clone is what I thought, because there was tons of Defender clones during the time. I only played it mostly on the Atari 2600 version, so I had a very different experience, because every time I went to the arcade, I would try to play Defender, and the game was designed, get better, noob, because when you started, you know, it was designed to eat most people's quarters in the first 30 seconds. Then you would get better over time once you learned it. And I think that's one of the reasons why it would never have worked otherwise, because they would have changed a lot of other gaming mechanics in the game if we did have that, like we have controls now. Because I could actually play, if you know, minutes, 5 minutes or so, just starting out when I map my controller properly. And I'm like, well, that wouldn't fly in the arcade.
No man. It's a hell of a thing, and I guess in some ways the Atari folks like yourself had a better time, because again, you just got the stick and the button.
Yeah, we was at home. We already bought the game. That's how you made your money. You sold the cart. Atari said, "Here's your cart. Thank you for the money.
Yeah.
No, you can't return it." And and that they didn't worry about it. So if you could play for hours, and I used to as well. I would play Defender. Literally, I played Defender all night long, trying to roll the score. It's just you get into this mindset. It's we've talked about it before, the flow, and you just feel like you're just going left to right, scrolling. It was my first true. It's probably my first true experience with like a shoot 'em up. Where I was like, oh, I really like this feeling of just once you get into a certain point, you just zone and you don't even look at the actual ship. You're just kind of, you're seeing the whole screen and you're making the movements based off that. And it's just.
It's also had a feeling of like, I'm going somewhere. There's mountains passing me.
Yeah.
I'm making distance, you know, even though it was ugly in the 2600.
It's such a fake out, though, because it's like those, if you're really old, you probably remember those scrolling TVs with like a background and you just like a rotating over and over the same background.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Just, even in the arcade, I think it's like 3.5 screens or something like that.
Yeah, it isn't much at all, data. But it gave you the feeling that you were really covering some distance. And I remember feeling like this game did that better than any of them until Battlezone came out. That one I felt like I was going forever in places that I wasn't allowed to go. Like that game, we had to do Battlezone at some point because that game was really something for its time.
Oh, yeah. Battlezone is definitely coming.
Yeah,
but
that was really
cool. If I was at the arcade, I'd drop a quarter in here and I would instantly start using my smart bombs, because I knew that if I didn't use them now,
you're gonna die.
I'd be dead in about 30 seconds, and I had left too many smart bombs up there on the screen.
They swarm you, dude. You can't. There's no denying the swarm. The swarm is real.
Well, yeah, and the swarm is primarily, especially in the early stages, is the first early waves. Excuse me. We're still using waves like Joust and those other kind of games.
Yeah.
And If you let the alien come down, and he grabs one of the humans on the planet, I think it starts out with 10 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He'll grab a human, he'll go up, and if he makes it to the very top of the screen, before you shoot him or save the guy, it turns into the same ship, but then the little humans inside of it, and they go nuts, and everything turns into magnets, and no matter where you go, they're following you. So if you make the mistake of letting too many of them get hijacked, abducted. And by the way, the game makes a noise, too, when they get abducted. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, no, it scares you.
It intensifies. Like, oh, no, somebody's getting kidnapped. You have to look up really quick. One of the great things about Defender, this is the first time I remember ever seeing this, is the mini map.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you can only see what's in front of you, but you can also see kind of where all the ships are in little dot form with different colors. That kind of give you an indication of where stuff is at. Not that I ever had a chance to freaking make use of that. I would watch other people and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, but it might be the earliest version of this. So if you go play yourself some GTA or something, you know, more modern, you might go,
right.
Oh, yeah, I'm always used to having a little map down there to tell me where I'm going. This might have been the first game to ever do that.
I was trying to recall. I know as one of the I'm very resistant to saying this is the first one anything, but I think this is the first time that I remember a game scrolling to this capacity horizontally.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I remember seeing a mini map. So I can't say it's the absolute first, but I don't know. It had to be pretty early.
It's badass, this game.
Yeah.
I think Defender is great. One of its developers, programmers, Sam Dicker.
Dicker.
Had this to say. Here he is describing his process and how they made games back then.
Well, you have to be a science fiction fan. You have to be a programmer. You have to be kind of an artist. We actually have to first please ourselves, and we're about the most finicky players around. We've played every game until we're bored of it. Just like a movie, you want to get lost in it. You want to forget that you're playing a game. You want to, when the game's over, you want to suddenly realize that you're in the arcade.
So what I like about this guy is it feels like that could have been like a modern day indie developer talking about their process right now.
Yeah.
And so little has changed in terms of what drives them to make cool games. And that guy sounded like he could have been 2020.
The environment was very similar, I think, because Eugene Jarvis, which I've seen tons of interviews with this past week, did allude or mention many times that it was just, we believe in you. We've seen that you do some other things. And just, make a game. And so you would go do your research, you'd go to the arcades, do some research, come up with an idea, and just start kind of hammering away at something with prototypes. That doesn't work. Try this. And Eugene Jarvis is just, he's great to watch. He's a, if you haven't seen any interviews with him, he's fantastic.
No, he's a legend. Dude's a legend.
Yeah, legend.
Yeah, no question about it. Real quick here, my favorite thing about learning more about the beginnings of where Defender lands in the Williams universe in terms of timing, because prior to this, they were known for being kind of lords of pinball. Like they were, they were everything in pinball, and their own promotional brochure for that they would send out to arcades to try to get people to buy this Defender machine literally says this: first, the pinball universe, now the world of video. Once again, yes. Williams reigns supreme. Wow.
Yes, they were still in a heavy competition. They were still in heavy competition, right, with Bally Midway at this point, also kind of in the same area as they were making pinballs, and they were moving towards electronic video game arcades. They eventually, when Bally decided to kind of sell off the Midway part, I suppose, that was gone away. I didn't even realize that until this last week when I watched that documentary and Insert Coin and just did some research. And I was like, oh, I'd never put the two together. But the same developers who were at the beginning with Defender were kind of still working a little bit into when it turned into Midway and Mortal Kombat and all that kind of stuff and cruising and. It was
weird era for the whole thing. Lots of splits and joinings and then going away entirely and just an odd history for those companies. Yeah.
But you're right. It was much more of an indie mindset. They were literally creating the technology. They were, everything was just, there was no real limits to what they could think of to try.
What's wild to me,
in your nose.
What's wild to me is Eugene Jarvis was a pinball designer. Pinball machine designer. And so him programming that stuff, quote unquote, programming it, which, there was some, but it was mostly design. It's like, well, if the ball goes up here and does this four times, what is that going to mean? And how do we do that mechanically? That seems like such a different skill set than applying that kind of thinking to video games. But the dude did it not only with this game, but more in the future and just was like a genius. He's a genius.
I think in some of the interviews they say he started out with Space War, which a lot of people did, early 60s mainframe kind of game. And then he went on and, he really fell in love with stuff like Space Invaders and Asteroids and all that plays here. He took what he saw and he looked at the things he didn't like, and he did this later on too. And he improved upon it, which is where you get, a lot of innovation. Lots of times you're not always the person who invents something. You're the person who figures out how to use it most efficiently.
Yep. He's awesome. Real quick. Another note about him that I like, notable for, we've talked about Defender obviously, but Robotron 2084, Cruisin', and a game that's not even that old, Nex Machina.
Yes.
or Machina. I don't know how they say it because it's not Machina. Like the Machina normally. Like next Machina.
Right.
What am I trying to say? The Machina. Ex Machina. Sorry, that's what I was trying to say. I think they spell it differently. These guys, I think they want you to say Machina, but it doesn't matter anyway. It was a job he did or a collaboration he did with Housemarque. Housemarque makes amazing games, and you could argue that a lot of Housemarque games, their dual stick shooter games, are directly inspired from the genre that Defender helped create.
Yeah.
And so he came back in 2017 and helped them with this game. If you see this on sale on Steam somewhere or anywhere else, do not pass by. It's a rad game that is very cool, and it's got him written all over it. You can get it for like $15 or something on Steam. It's very, very good.
Don't forget Smash TV. You said that right. Did you say Smash TV?
I did say Smash. Did I? Or it wasn't on the list. No, it wasn't.
I don't know. It wasn't on the list, Smash TV, Jarvis. Those guys.
Crap. You're right. It's on here somewhere.
Yeah. But that's fine. Smash TV is going to get some episodes.
Yeah, he's a stud.
We don't have to talk about it too much.
That guy's great, and I love him. And also, when we get to talking about what kind of games can you play now that are a lot like Defender, that's one of them. The other game, Rezo Gun, which is basically a straight-up Defender love letter. Like, it's Defender. You have little green dudes to save and everything. It's so good. It's like modern Defender with, like, particle effects and amazing stuff. I love that game.
Defender is so much fun. Like I said, I play more on the TAR 2600, but, man, getting to play being able to actually not be hindered by my learning curve versus the number of tokens in my pocket really let me enjoy Defender to its fullest, I think.
I agree, and it was fun to play it. Again, in retrospect, because I didn't know about the other games. I thought it was on its own.
I did play this on my Atari Fight Stick, and I want to let you know, I don't know if you have a Micro Center close to you, but the Atari Stick, this is a dual stick fight stick with the trackball in the center, with replaceable components. Micro Center had it for like $120 this past week with the Raspberry Pi 3. Either one of those is almost that every day of the week. So if you need a Raspberry Pi, go get yourself a free Atari Fight Stick. And if you need an Atari Fight Stick, go get yourself a free Raspberry Pi, because that's kind of the deal right now. And
hold on. I don't have one here. So can I get it online? Can someone get one and hold one for us?
Now,
come on.
Someone could get you one if they were. You have to actually buy. That's the thing about Micro Center. They want you in that store spending your money because it is a sinkhole. You'll go in and be like, oh, I was going to get one thing. Oh, my God, I spent all my money. Yeah. So that's smart. That's smart on their part.
Yeah.
But this fight stick has 6 buttons on it. Which is great for Defender, and they're not spaced out like Defender, but I'm working on I'm looking at what's called OpenCade, and it allows you to have a 3D printed bottom case, and then the top you can kind of print out as you need, and you can put it in the configuration you want, and I'm really interested in that because I want to go play at the arcade Defender, and I want to whoop your ass is what I want to do, Scott.
I'm ready.
Let's go. I want to show you what it's all about.
Okay. All right. That's tough talk from you. So let's do it.
That really is.
Hey, another game came along. You might be confused with both movie and TV property, but that wasn't even around yet. And that would be Stargate. All right. Same year, similar sound effects, a little bit more though. A little bit more complex there. Different enemies, different stuff to do. Sharper looking ship. This game is called Stargate, and it may as well have been just called Defender 2, which I actually think it should have been. I think they have a branding problem here.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I meant to look deeper, but there was some lawsuits, and I don't think it was from the Stargate people we eventually got to know as Stargate. I think it was something else was going on. I think it was with the Defender name and not the Stargate.
It was something with Defender because... I'm a little surprised there's very little about it to find and read.
Right.
So I don't know why they exactly did it, but it seems like, well, we can't call it Defender 2, so let's call it Stargate. And I don't think that was a good idea. And here's my reasoning. When I was a kid and I played Defender in the arcades, I loved it. And if you said, hey, Defender 2 is down at the arcade, I'd lost my mind. Let's go right now. But instead people are like, I don't know, you're a kid. You're not really nuanced. You don't know what the hell's going on. So somebody says, let's go play Stargate. What the F are you even talking about?
It changes the dynamic of your expectations, like you're saying. Entirely. Defender means, I mean, when you see defend, you're like, oh, I know what I'm supposed to be doing in this game immediately. I'm supposed to be defending these humanoids down here. This one's called Stargate, and there is a Stargate. That's what's added this time around. Instead of just hyper jumping, you can also hit a Stargate. And I think this is doesn't the Stargate take you directly to anyone being kidnapped, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah, to the closest one. There might be two happening at once, but you go to the closest one. Yeah.
Right. And it's in specific areas. That guy did a good job of catching the human, by the way. When you shoot the abducting ship, if you shoot it, the human will fall. You grab him with your ship and you land him safely, hopefully, if you don't shoot him like I do. But you're right. The expectation, if you had heard Defender, you'd be like, oh, I'm defending things. Stargate doesn't elicit any of that emotion. It just
sounds like a different game.
It's a different game.
And it is a different game. You know, it's an update. This isn't that different from Defender. It's a lot like it in almost every way.
And it's
way.
Not even the most important part of the game. Star is just one aspect of the game. So I don't know.
It's interesting, though. And it was quick, as often these things were back then. They didn't take years to make sequels. They very quickly wanted the money. So they're like, all right, make another one. This one had a working volcano, which I always appreciated.
I love that, but I was kind of confused why it was more like the star fields in the back. It didn't seem to cause any damage to my ship, and I was really freaking out at first because I was like, oh, no, look out.
No, I think it's purely cosmetic, I think, that effect.
Yeah, it's purely cosmetic, which is cool. You know, they just ramped it up. They said, let's do Defender and let's ratchet it up a little bit, and I did not like some of the new baddies, though. The what was it? They had some really weird names. Fire bombers.
They should just call them all quarter suckers because they're harder.
Space guppies. There's Freds, Big Reds, Munchies. The Munchies are the ones I hated.
Yeah.
The Munchies like are little Pac-Man like little things. I don't know what they're
Pac-Man.
Doing there.
Yeah, they suck. They can eat a turd. Yeah. I hate them. Not a fan.
What the crap are space hums? Are they just like make noises?
I don't know. But I didn't realize that's what they're really called. They're called space hums.
Space hums. And this was actually developed. So if you watch the video that I've talked about a million times, where's my royalty money for this?
Yeah.
Insert coin. Jarvis and DeMar left Williams and had their own indie studio for a short time called Viz Kids. And they're the ones who developed this Stargate still published through Williams, I guess maybe subcontracted. I'm not sure exactly what all the legalese was on it, but it was developed specifically by them in their indie studio.
Yeah. I know a guy named Jarvis up the street. His name is not Eugene, though.
Eugene?
A little aside. Yeah. I wish it was Eugene. And I've told him before, I said, dude, you didn't make Defender, did you? And he always looked at me like, what are you talking about? He doesn't know.
Why are you so stupid? Wait, yeah. So Eugene, did this guy have any choice but to become a video game developer?
I feel like there's something written in the contract when you're born Eugene. Right. You just have to work in video games, I think.
Yeah, my name is Brian. I mean, I was pretty much destined to be a nerd. I mean, that was the rule
with Brian's. Yeah. But white, you have to be white and a nerd.
Yeah, and boring.
How many black guys do you know named Brian? I don't know any.
I actually know a few, believe it or not.
Good.
That's because I'm on. It's kind of like
break the stereotype.
When you have a particular. Well, it's kind of like when you have a particular car. Suddenly, you see that car everywhere. So
oh, yeah, that's a good point. Brian's a particular kind of car, and we like him. We like his car.
Yeah,
brand.
Yeah.
Not very efficient on the highway, though. Your fuel efficiency is
you put me on the road, and I am like, you're gonna have to be feeding me some McRibs, and that's just going to cost you a lot of money. It's not a good idea.
That's true. So according to the game, this terrain, they call it, which is just a wireframe of mountains, inhabited by a small number of humanoids, enemy ships fly overhead. The goal is to destroy the enemies to prevent the humans from being captured. Again, it's pretty much Defender.
It's just Defender, but with a few new gimmicks. Same strategy for the most part. The one thing we didn't talk about with Defender is how it kind of uses like that asteroid momentum thing. So your ship's flying in one direction, even though you're like in the atmosphere, you still like you fly one direction, hit the reverse button. Yeah, there's a reverse button. How lame is that? And you flip it around. You could float for a second, which is cool because I like shooting things as I'm backing away from them. I don't like shooting things when I'm going towards it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's like strafing in a 2D plane. Yeah, I get it.
Whenever I'm shooting something and moving towards it, I have a tendency to just suicide right into it. Yeah. I don't mean to. It's just like, I don't know what it is. It's weird, but I don't like it.
I don't know what it is about you just describing that. It makes me want to make custom Doom, original Doom levels. Why? Why is my brain gone there? Something about what you were describing. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You got to strafe, baby. You got to roll back.
Oh, it's the strafing. That's what it is. I was talking about strafing, and it made me think of Doom.
Is it the Defender Jibs Gibbs?
Jibs Gibbs. Yeah. I don't know. Star Gibbs. It's the Bee Gees. Stephen Gibb. I have no idea. All right, let's move on to a game called Strike Force, which came out 10 years later, 1991. Yeah. This is after Jarvis and DeMar returned to Defender to assist in the making of this limited release arcade distribution. Here's what that sounded like. Whoops, why is it quiet? That's
the wrong one. It sounds just like Defender.
Here it is. This one's a weird one.
Yeah. You might not have seen this in the arcade because it's pretty limited.
Yeah, this I did not, for sure.
I did not either.
Absolutely not in my radar at all. But look at this weird thing, chat room. Look at this freaking video. Like, clearly, they got a little parallax scrolling. And yes, you're rescuing dudes. But you've got rotational shooting.
We're still sprite-based, but it looks, everything is smoothed out and got shadows and stuff. So it looks more 3D, right?
I guess so. It's an odd look for a thing that's kind of Defender, but not. It looks like a Defender ripoff is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, yeah. It actually looks a lot like some of the crappy Defender ripoffs that came later. So it's kind of feeding back into itself. But once again, you're still doing your Defender thing. You're picking up humans and saving them from the aliens. And, you know, we're in the jungle this time, apparently, which is weird.
Yeah. And we, you know, on the show, we always make a joke out of Choplifter. I don't think Choplifter exists without Defender because it's basically the same concept. Yeah. It's just a helicopter in a jungle, but for the most part, it's the same. Rescue the dudes, kill the bad guys, go back to base, you're done.
Yeah, or in this case, you destroy the prehistoric beings, pterodactyls, and you still get your mini-map, though, right?
Yeah. I do like how the little dudes are bouncing all over the place, and you're having to pick them up, and they hang like idiots, and I don't know, there's some fun
having. That was one of the mechanics in Stargate Defender 2 that I never could quite get in hand. If you played Defender, it would show you tips if you hit certain buttons during the track screens and stuff. I don't know if that was in part two or not, but I did learn something that I was supposed to do in Defender 2, I believe, where you pick up the humans, you can stack them. So like you have like three of them together and then you blast through the Stargate and something's supposed to happen. You win or something? I can't remember, but it was pointless to know what it did because I could never carry more than I got two one time, I think.
Oh, really? Wow. Look at you, big man.
Once for 5 seconds when I wasn't shooting them.
Yeah, not. Ooh, I didn't know you could change up your weaponage. Look at this, different ordnance.
Yeah, there's weapon pickups in this one. They added some new things that were, you know, look at the screens. It reminds me of Smash TV.
Oh, yeah, big time. The color palette here and the style, totally. And this would have been near that, right? Smash TV was close to this, I think.
Closer probably than Defender.
Probably using whatever quote-unquote engine they had devised for this.
Exactly. Yep.
It's okay. It's just weird and rare, and I don't have any love for it because I just don't remember seeing it, but it's entirely possible this is a fine game. I don't know.
I'm looking at it, and I just don't see how it could be a fine game, but whatever.
Now, the one you were playing at home sounded terrible. It sounded like this. That part's all right. It's like, how do you know you're on Atari? Because I'm hearing the same four sounds over and over in different language or different volumes. That's why.
I have too much nostalgia for this one to give it any crap. Yeah. I don't mind giving Atari 2600 the crap it deserves, but with this one, just too much nostalgia to go that I didn't like it.
It's just such a blinky mess, though, man. Like, I don't know.
I love that. Actually, so some of the things that were limitations on the Atari, this is actually a really, this is one of the best arcade ports on the Atari 2600, in my opinion.
Low
and
bar.
One of the reasons why is because some of the things that the hardware limited to them to, they actually kind of improved some parts of Defender and kind of made it their own. This firing thing that happens when the ship is firing.
Yeah.
This allowed me to play a lot longer because when you fire, your ship disappears, obviously, because there's not enough resources to render both the ship and the fire
and the firepower, right?
Right. So as a result, you're invincible for just a second while you fire. And of course, you only can fire so fast. You got only one button on the Atari 2600 and the stick.
Yeah.
And I like that part. And plus, also, your thrust is, you know, left and right because you do have a joystick. It simplifies the controls a lot. If you go all the way to the top of the screen and you hit the button, that's when you jump to hyperspace. If you go all the way into the city, then down at the bottom, then you hit the button and you do the smart bomb, which is great because that's usually when you need to use it anyway, because you see that somebody's about to be abducted. The ships that are abducting, instead of just picking up people like a claw machine like they did in the arcade, they actually have like a little nice little laser, like a little tractor beam that pulls them up.
You know what's weird though is like the mini map up top is nonsense. It doesn't actually tell you anything.
It's really hard because what it's trying to do is it does. You get used to the flashing. There's a lot of flashing, even more for the mini screen because it has to refresh, and so it's off almost as often as it's on. Mm. And so you get used to it after a while, and you kind of But at first it's very disorienting. I'm not going to say it's a great game, but I will say I thought it was a pretty good. It means a lot to me. How's that? It means a lot to me, totally, and I thought it was totally a pretty fair. Good support.
I also think they made a vast improvement for the 5200.
It was almost arcade.
Yeah, this is almost arcade perfect. They've still got some issues. Yeah. It's a little slower paced, which maybe that's good.
Yeah.
I never had this console, so difficult to say, but a little bit of sound from it here. Things got a little better in those days on the sound front.
Yeah. We were no longer in the city. We were back in our mountainous areas. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy's always doesn't know what he's doing. He's shooting the people.
This person's bad. They're bad. Oh, and they still won the wave. So well done.
I also want to say they're bad, but I also want to preface that with, I want to say this. This had the paddle, kind of the joystick, two button, mm-hmm. but it also had the pad thing.
Yeah.
Remember the little button pad thing, number pad?
It was garbage.
Yeah, you had to like, that's where some of your programming was at. You had to like drop down there to do some stuff.
I'll never understand how there were ever meetings at Atari, Nolan Bushnell in the room, and they're all like, guys, what do you think of this kludgy nightmare for a controller? I don't know, man. I've got so much pot in my system, I could probably say no or yes, and it'd be the same. Like, they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I want to put a remote control down at the bottom of a regular Atari stick. What do you think about that? Sounds great. So we're actually going to be more. Let's take the paddle and put a stick on that.
Yeah,
and then put some put a phone pad at the bottom where you can dial phone numbers.
Yeah, I mean, basically they didn't. Nobody knew what ergonomics was back then. I understand that, but
right.
I just don't know how you put those prototypes in your hand and went, "Oh yeah, this is next level, baby."
Yeah,
The simplicity of a stick and a button. That was pretty good on the first Atari. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the best, but it was simple and straightforward, and you knew how to use it, and you could hand it to a grandma or a kid, and they'd both know what to do with it. That new controller or anything in television made or any of this fang-dangled weirdness.
Yeah, I got an Odyssey 2 back over here that's a pain in the butt to control. I'm looking at it right now, just looking at it with disdain.
Oh, yeah, I bet that one's a rough one. That's got to be rough.
Well, like ColecoVision and Television, all those guys had the... had the pad. I don't know why. Listeners, tell me the game that made all of this worthwhile. Because I can't think of any games that was like that. No. This is great for.
No, what game in any of that era in television? 5200, 7800.
What was pushing this?
Yeah,
this idea. I wonder.
Were you doing fake phone calls? Were you doing? Right. Did you think big games are gonna? You know, Nintendo will do this. They'll do a gimmick, 3D or motion control or whatever, and then a bunch of games will be built around it. Were there a bunch of games that said enter the code on the phone thing? Like maybe
that's a good question. Were they looking at maybe a passcode entry? Maybe that might would be a good use for it.
I guess so. I don't know. Just a beast, dude.
But they didn't have batteries in those, though, did they? Where would they store it? I don't know.
I don't know either. It's dumb.
I don't know.
Let's just say it's dumb. It is dumb.
It's dumb. Like I said, I don't understand the purpose. I've never played any game that made use of it that I thought was worthwhile.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what you know. You know the truth. The truth is the 5200 controller is an abomination and they should be embarrassed. Whoever made it,
made it happen. Should be embarrassed.
They should be embarrassed. It's embarrassing, that thing. All right. There's that. But then did you know this? The Defender I had the most fun this week outside of the original arcade release. That's still my favorite.
Yeah.
But the one I had the most fun with was this. Okay. We need to understand something here real quick. Why did they make a Defender game for the NES that had that intro music? That's what I was curious about.
It's kind of fun. It's like the fun before the storm. I don't know.
I guess. To me, it's a head scratcher because it's such a weird aesthetic choice. But the game itself, great, dude.
Yeah.
It's great.
And they finally was able to call it Defender 2. Apparently, they got all the legal issues worked out, or they just said, we're releasing this for the Famicom first, and we're going to call it Defender.
Yeah, too. And it plays really well. It's perfectly suited for the gamepad. It's fun, like tight. Yeah. It has a tight kind of control to it, and it just makes a huge difference. And this, too, by the way, is basically Defender. It is basically Stargate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's got the Stargates, and it's got the... I don't know if they have the mountain that shoots the poo out of it, but the little dudes look like they are who they are. And there's just something about this that played so good for me. This is the one I'm probably going to go back and mess with more. I liked it a lot.
I did, too. It is really fast. This one's a very Defender-ish. It's a really good port for the NES. Mm-hmm. I was kind of shocked that NES was able to actually pull most of what it did. But I guess it makes sense once you really start breaking it down. But yeah, this is a good port.
It looks good. It doesn't blink out of control. It doesn't have the problems the NES used to have with like slowdown and some of that. It's just a nice, clean, tight-looking arcade port. And I don't know.
Plus, you get to do your left and right for your thrust.
Yes, the way it should be.
Yeah.
Not this bullshit thing, reverse key. Come on. that was my favorite to play, and the only reason that it's not number one is because I also played a similar control scheme for the ROM I played of the arcade one, so it also didn't have to deal with reverse keys or any of that.
Yeah,
so.
If you can, if that's the way I would, if you have the patience and the time, to have your controller already configured for your MAME emulation, knock yourself out. That's probably the best way to do it. Defender One is a classic, it's legend.
Now let's jump 15 years into the future. And wonder at this.
That sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, getting a little bit of music here.
Yeah. Pretty sure this is the Jeff Minter joint, I think.
I believe, yes, it is the Jeff Minter joint. It is for the Defender 2000 Jaguar. Yep. Atari Jaguar. Atari really liked the Defender. They really, really loaded it up.
They did, and they did like they did with Tempest 2000, which was filled it full of cool techno music and made it very loud and visual.
Disco-ish. What's the word? It's not really disco. It's like these neon explosions and stuff. It's very colorful. Oh, Minter knows what he's doing for the most part sometimes.
Yep. And I'm a big fan of those soundtracks. I had a CD version of the Tempest 2000 soundtrack. Played the shit out of that in my car. It was a cool soundtrack. And this was trying to attempt to do the same thing. This was Atari going, we got a new hot new console, our 16-bit console. We're here to compete with the big boys. And we got a ton of great ideas, and most of it involves going super modern with these old ideas, and that's what they did here.
Yeah, and I like this one because this one has three modes of play. You can play the classic version, which is really a really good port of the original Defender, and then you could play this the Defender Plus. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that one as much because it was kind of like... it was like a cross between that and the actual main game, which is the Defender 2000, which, by the way, I couldn't play. It was way too much mania for me, man.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it very much. I think it's a little much. I think Tempest 2000 holds up. I don't think
Yeah,
this
Tempest
does.
2000's good.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit weird. I liked what they were going for, just didn't feel right. I do it's, like at it, the end of the level, the yeah, little they have the little shirtless guys dancing. I do like that.
Yeah, when you cleared a planet or a wave or whatever, it would they would all like hands across America dance and turn into little
Here they are right here, chat.
Rainbows.
Look at these guys. They'll hop out. Look at them all. We've been
saved. This is how I wanted to describe this Defender 2000 for the Jaguar. If you're a Jaguar fan, this is a showcase game. It's awesome. It's fast. It runs really well on the Jaguar. It looks good, and it really shows off the hardware. If you're a Defender fan, it's got the classic version on here.
Yep. Just play that. Just do that.
Yeah, just play that. It's fine.
It's a pretty good version of that on a collection, a Williams collection on Genesis that I used to really like.
Yeah, there was a really good Williams collection that was on, I think it was on the GameCube, PlayStation, several consoles.
Pretty sure it came with, Joust 1. Can't remember everything. At least Joust 1.
At least Joust 1 and Defender, right?
Yeah, Defender, the two you care about. Those are on there.
Yeah, the two you care about. And other things.
Yeah, and other things. That's right. Okay, now let's get a little weird. Let's talk about the worst port of all time.
And unfortunately, we've praised the Game Boy Advance many times in this show, and the last couple of times we've just stumbled across a few of not so shiny jewels.
Let's call them stinkers, really. Here's some of that. I do like the yelling aliens, though. Big fan.
It reminds me of Quake, and that part is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's just not enough to save the game.
No, it's a bad game. It's hard for me to even put my finger on what makes it so bad. It's just bad.
So what makes it bad, opinion, is we're a really small screen, so you have to make the sprites much larger. Defender is already cramped when your ship is really small because of the speed that's expected from going from side-scrolling. And since this thing is pretty large on the screen, you can't hardly even turn around and fire once before you run slap into something. It's too cramped.
Yeah, I'll give it a little bit of love for the screaming alien death guys, but that's about it.
Right. It carries on the idea of which one was it? That Strike Force. It's more of a Strike Force game because that was the one, and they probably chose this way because Strike Force was set in that prehistoric age or whatever. So you're fighting, dinosaurs and different things. So I think they figured that the Defender name would be more marketable, but it's pretty much Strike Force.
It's not great.
No, and it was only European only, so I won't say too much about it. Look, that you got the crap, Europe, suck it.
Yeah, and they had this was basically the GBA's attempt to capture what they did do in a pretty good way for Xbox, PlayStation, and GameCube. They all got a really nice 3D game that was pretty good.
Right.
But it's garbage. It's not great.
It's garbage poo.
A few others are worth mentioning. Drop Zone, I never played.
That's a well-loved Drop Zone clone, Defender clone. Everybody loves that.
People are fans of that business there. Yeah. Attack of the Mutant Camels,
That one. I had never seen this one before, and I when I was looking for Defender clones, this is one that showed up, and it's just what it sounds like, Mutant Camels in Defender.
Yeah, it's okay. If you're around in 99, you could have picked up the Joust and Defender Game Boy Advance Arcade Hits Collection, which was excellent.
I love this. Yeah. This is very inexpensive. You go to price chart and you can find there's tons of these pumped out. Joust and Defender for the Game Boy Color. I want to pick up a copy of this.
Or I said GameCube, didn't I? I meant Game Boy Colors.
I'm sorry, Game Boy Color.
Bad. Yeah. They play great, though. They're really good versions of these two games.
Yes, they really were. And they almost had like a unique blending of the graphics. Mm-hmm. I really liked how Joust looked. Joust has a real sharp, clear look to it when you're playing the arcade, but for some reason the way they had to like make it smaller and the sprites were kind of what's the word, like a dithered somewhat. Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
Yep, pretty awesome stuff. It. Yeah, I like it too. I like them a lot. I also really like the art on those machines. I thought they all had great art.
Oh yeah.
Either on the side and such.
We need to talk about that one day. Arcade art and the artist who did it, because there was a real talent there.
Yeah, I would agree. You would argue, or you could argue, that Sinistar is the true follow-up to the Defender series, but I would actually argue more that Sinistar is a combination of what was happening with Asteroids combined with what was going on with Defender. Right. And I think to great success, at some point on this show, we need to do a deep dive into Sinistar.
Because if nothing else, for the great Sinistar sound.
Oh, yeah, man. That guy Sinistar yelling at me while I'm walking past the arcade. He's such a dick.
Yes. He's such a turd. He's
such a dick.
Did you know that you can build Defender from the source code yourself on GitHub?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
True story. True.
That's crazy.
I think about 3 years ago or so, they released the source code and put it right there on the GitHub. And I would be curious why people are doing that.
Yeah. Are anyone making cool mods or doing something goofy with it? I'd like to see
that.
Can
you even do that? Oh, yeah. I don't know what you can do with the source code. I'm sure you could do almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever play any of the... So, you know, Defender made it. It at least passed through the Shockwave excitement. Remember Shockwave? Remember that?
No.
Flash. You remember Shockwave? The Flash stuff.
Oh, you mean Shockwave, the tech slash
the
platform.
Technology. Right, the technology right. Shockwave.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah. I thought you meant a game named Shockwave. I knew a Transformer. No,
that'd be cool, too.
There's a Transformer named Shockwave, but I don't think that's who you mean.
Oh, I get there's still shockwave.com still to the place. I'm afraid to click on it.
Really?
Did somebody buy this? Certainly somebody bought this. And I guess it's online games. I didn't know that was still exist, but that was a big thing for a while. Play the video games in your browser using the Shockwave plugin, and Defender was right in there with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good time.
Defender's great, man. Nothing wrong with Defender.
No.
And if your wife gets yelled at by a stranger in a parking lot, Defender. Okay.
Defender. Pick her up and don't drop her.
That's right. And I'm probably going to play this later on I got my own one-up little mini arcade unit deal. It's not the desktop like one you're looking at, but it's a tall, you know.
Right. Regular unit.
A child, like a small junior high freshman could play it and not sit.
I would love to sit down with arcade one-up people and just go, why, man? Why did you?
Yeah.
Is there that much money in risers? Are y'all saving that much money on risers? Are y'all making that much money on risers? I need to know what y'all are doing with the economy of riser. What is...
It's
what
weird.
Are you doing?
It's weird. I don't get it either. I don't like it.
Like
no, sorry,
it's got to be a financial thing. It's got to be. I don't know. It's like, oh, if we made this much weight, then we could save this many much monies. Or if we sell the risers separately, we can make a 200% profit off just a piece of wood. I don't know, but it's. It kills me.
All right. If you want to play the proper great grandson. Or great-granddaughter, depending on how you want to look at it.
Great-granddaughter.
Of Defender. I seriously, I'm showing it on video now, but I seriously cannot recommend enough Rezogun. It was originally a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Yes. It's now, I think, all over the place. But you can get it on PlayStation Plus. It's also just there on the cheap. I think I paid $4 for it. Those guys over at Housemarque, they make really great games. Really cool, like, particle effect stuff going on in this game. The dudes are green. You need to save them. It's just that it's that game again, but in a new way. The levels are more circular instead of, you know, just going from one end to the other and repeating itself. Yeah. So they just have a different take on it. But man, what an awesome game! Underrated, underplayed. Should play it.
Yeah, so good.
Right now, I may play it right now after we're done playing this.
Why we're playing games now?
Yeah, I'm playing game. The show's over. I'm playing this game. And then a lot of people like Terra Bomber. I never played this.
Yeah.
Is it any good? It's on the Switch.
I haven't played it either. I was doing some what you could be playing like Defender now, like 2020, I believe, when Terra Bomber came out, something like that. It's on Steam right now, on sale for like $1 or something. And I was like, ooh, well, I might have to play this. Now, this does look retro with, you know, the simple graphics.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's supposed to be a Defender-like.
Yeah. It's got bombs, though, which is kind of cool. You can shoot. You can shoot stuff on the ground. So in some ways, it's like Scramble. Another big game I loved playing as a kid. But, you know, the side-scrolly bit, the mini-map on top, it's definitely from then. I don't know how it controls. I'd like to see. Yeah, I mean, if it's only like $1, I may just go get this. Why not?
Yeah, it's like $1 something. Super cheap.
Yeah, who cares? I'll do that. I wonder if it's DEX certified. Doesn't matter. I'll make it work. Most of the time, not most of the time, but a lot of times when they say it's not ready for deck, they work. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. I don't know if they've got really high standards, and that's good.
Do you think they just don't stay? They just don't update the list very often, or you know, people. There's so many games on Steam. There's not like a guy at Valve going, "Oh shit, I got another game today that got certified." Oh no,
I'm sure it's like a combination of the developer having to be contacted, and you know, sure, some kind of process. I'm sure it's paperwork involved.
Yeah. You're probably not wrong there. So yeah, if you're feeling a little frosty, go check out Terra Bomber or Rezogun, both excellent entries into the deal.
I am Defender.
I played it a lot as a kid, and I have fond feelings, and I'm really glad we covered it because I wasn't expecting to have as much fun as I did.
Scott recommended this one, and immediately I was like, yes!
Yeah, it's classic, man. Plus, you arcade people, you get antsy if we don't cover your stuff often enough, you know?
That's right. You miss your arcade action.
Yeah. Once in a while, we'll get an email going, how come you didn't talk about no arcade game this week? I'm like, okay, all right.
okay. Settle down.
Sorry, we had to have our GameCube moment. Oh, I see Kevin in the chat bought a GameCube because of last week. We made him spend money.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Not GameCube, Game Gear. Bought it on
Game Gear, that too.
Facebook Marketplace, he said.
Ooh, nice. Does it work? Do you have to recap that, baby?
I don't know. I was eating dinner out where he lives, kind of in his neighborhood. And I forgot they had a nickelcade there. So basically, it's the arcade. You just go in there and you pay like $2.50 in nickels. And they give you a stack of nickels worth, the $2.50 worth. And then you just go in and just spend nickels on arcade games all day. It's fantastic.
Ooh, that's what I'm talking about.
Can't recommend
I got some
enough.
Nickels.
Yeah. Oh, you do have some. Well, then I got good news for you. Next time you're in Salt Lake, there's like, I don't know, five of these or something. And they have all really good shape, like legit machines, and
right
a few too many of the ticket machines for my taste, but most of it's games.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where you make your money at, though, right?
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know what they do with that, because I feel like for every pair of plastic vampire teeth they give away because you had enough tickets, there's some poor guy who just put his life savings in one of those things. So
yeah. Oh well, yeah. Well, I was talking about for the house. The house always wins. I wasn't talking about good for the people.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. The house does win. It is kind of gambling for kids. Yeah. Those ticket machines.
Oh man, you've never seen like they forget when I go with the kids, or when I used to go with the kids when they were like between 8 and 12. That's like the worst time to take a kid to the ticket machine because they lose sight of the game itself. And the collecting the tickets becomes the game. And so they're literally just tossing in any game, doesn't matter what, just as fast as possible to complete the game, to get the tickets and to keep moving.
Yeah, it's like, a crack. It's, for them, it's just a crack dose. It's like, give me more crack. Oh. And their crack is seeing that thing go,
a bunch of tickets come out. Like, how about you enjoy the game and the tickets are just a bonus? How about that? No.
It's almost predatory. It really is. Like that whole business model is just like a little skeevy. Yeah, I don't like it.
A little bit. And then you come up and you go like, you know what? Forget the ticket stuff. How much can I buy that thing for? Mm-hmm. Some places will be cool and give you like a cash price, but other places like, nope.
Yeah, nope. Sorry, if you want that plastic fish that's worth nothing and you can't do anything with it, that'll be 9 billion tickets, please.
Look, man, I just want to get out of here and I can't leave because my kid wants that stupid thing and I'm not going to feed any more whatever.
How much are the chattering teeth? 4,000 tickets. Dad, we have to get more tickets. Oh, it's that time of year again. Man, look, this year you've got serious goals, okay? The Factor is here to help you achieve each and every one of those goals. Fuel up fast with ready-to-eat nutritious meals delivered straight to your door, leaving you time and energy to tackle everything on your ever-growing to-do list. I want you guys to get America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and start saving time, eating well, and living your best year ever. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your first box. By the way, Factor is now owned by HelloFresh, so there's something there for everyone. I love switching between the brands. And now you can enjoy both brands at a discount. Are you too busy to cook? I understand. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store. Skip the chopping. Skip the prep and all the cleanup, too. Factor Fresh, never frozen. Oh, that sounds so good to me. And these meals are ready in 2 minutes or less. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy, no matter your lifestyle. They've got delicious flavor-packed meals to help you live your life to the fullest and make the most of your goals. Are you trying to do keto, calorie smart, vegan maybe? How about protein plus options? Well, they're all on the menu, prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians. Each meal has all the ingredients you need to feel satisfied all day long. Get Factor and enjoy clean eating without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh flavor-packed meals delivered straight to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Achieve and maintain your 2023 goals with Factor. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code RETRO50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code RETRO50 at factormeals.com/retro50 to get that 50% off your first box. Go take advantage of it today.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess Our Game. We play audio from an old game, and we try to stump each other as to its origin and or title. Today I will start. I don't know why I didn't write it in here, but it's okay. I know it. It's from 1990. So right around the middle era that we've been talking about today. It's okay. An arcade game.
Okay.
And Capcom made it. That's all you get.
So you're pulling
starters.
A Dunaway today. You can't even remember what you did. So yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's so Capcom. Hold on.
Capcom.
I'm down. Right.
Capcom 90s-ish.
Definitely 1990. That's the year it came
out. Okay, definitely 1990. Arcade. Yeah. Capcom.
Arcade. All right, here it comes. You ready? I'm playing my audio. It's a little, it does sound like Qbert swearing or something, doesn't it?
It sounds like Qbert.
Yeah, the
little suction cup thing he has.
Any guesses? Any guesses?
Ah, no, that's, it sounds like somebody, it sounds like a shooter.
Okay.
But, it
I'll say
sounds
that that's
like
warm.
A,
I'll say that that's warm. It is a shooter of a sort.
He sounds like he's shooting with a bubble gun though or something. Boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop. Definitely not a bubble gun, although it kind of does look like bullets that are bubbles.
Bubbles, okay, yeah. And is you say Capcom.
Capcom. Japanese mega arcade 90s. Manufacturer Capcom 1990. And I'll say this, it's a vertical screen, so it's one of those. It's not wide. So it's a tall
really?
One. Yeah. Multiplayer. Can have up to three of you. And I'll tell you that someone in the chat has it, but I don't. You don't have it yet.
But yeah, I haven't said anything, so I don't have it at all. So it is. It's a shooter. So it's a scrolling shooter.
Yep.
A vertical scrolling shooter.
Yep, vertical scrolling shooter.
From 1990?
The hint I will tell
that
you is there.
Late.
I'll tell you, people are in there. They're not in planes or ships. If that helps.
They're not in planes or ships.
Yeah, if that helps. So some of the chat are saying 1942, 1941.
Commando 90?
Man, you're so close. Not really. I'll tell you. It's Mercs. Mercs.
Oh, Mercs.
Yeah.
Of course, Mercs.
M-E-R-C-S.
Oh, of course. Yes.
And I feel like we've talked about these guys before,
now
this game before,
it.
But in the context of the intro screen had a bunch of dudes who looked like they were out on the volleyball beach
Mercs.
Thing doing like Top Gun shirtless beach business, but they were mercenaries. It's a fun game.
Mercs.
It's a fun game, but Mercs is it. So you were close. Yeah. Who got it? Skits 319 in the chat got it right. Nicely done.
Nice.
All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. You got to tell me what my hints are. What is this?
Sure. It's the year is 1989, 1 year before the Mercs, and it's also at the arcade. So it could have still been at the arcade when you were playing you some Mercs. It could have totally been.
Probably would have been. I would hope so. These things were four grand or whatever. All right, here we go. Let's find out.
What would you say if I said this is also a Capcom game?
Oh, wow. Does it involve ninjas?
It involve ninjas?
That's my question number one. We get three questions, remember. That's how this works.
Are they officially ninjas in the game? Would I call them ninjas?
Because it sounds
he's a ninja. They're ninjas.
Shishing.
They're ninjas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. does it? Is it multiplayer?
I never play with anybody, but I think.
Yeah.
I think you could play multiplayer. Let me do that real quick. I'm trying to remember. I just always play by myself. I don't remember if there was a multiplayer component, but there might have been. Yes, I believe there is multiplayer, two-player.
Two players. Okay, that's interesting. Yes. My final question.
Wow, I've never played with anybody else. It's always just me against the thing.
Vertical scrolling, side scrolling, or combination?
To the side. Major influence on stuff like Ninja Gaiden, Devil May Cry, and God of War. Early hit for Capcom.
Oh my gosh. I'll say I'm torn between ghouls and goblins or ghouls and ghosts, I guess.
Oh, ghouls and ghosts.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be.
Oh, okay. Right. So I'm wrestling between that and the game Strider, which also I believe was a Capcom joint. Oh, it is Strider. Is it Strider?
Yeah, it's Strider.
Oh,
yeah,
no
Strider.
Way.
Strider did.
That explains like the metal on metal sound of everything.
Yes. Ta-ding, 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 ta-ding.
Yeah, Strider was cool.
How very sad that I never got to play with anybody.
Was there a Strider sequel?
In my defense, though, I always played it. I believe it was in the, was it in front of the Kmart? It was like in the entryway when I played it.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was Kmart.
Was it Kmart? I never played Kmart. A video game in a Kmart. I played in a Kmart or a Walmart. No. Where did I play? Some kind of, I think it was Skaggs. We had this place called Skaggs, and I used to have a Missile Command in there. So I'd play that. But then the one place I thought was weird was we had a local gas station. I think it was just 7-Eleven, and they had Ice Climbers in there. And I would go there every day and play Ice Climbers.
I want to say it was probably like 1992 or so whenever I was going into, to like, I think it was Kmart. There was a time when a bunch of those... before the time of Walmart owning everything, they would have like entryways and you'd have like your bubblegum machines in there and you maybe have a couple of arcade machines in there.
Yeah.
Hang out in front of the Kmart.
That's living mm-hmm. living large.
Live it up.
Strider 2 didn't happen until 99.
Oh.
Man, that was a ways down the road.
Yeah.
10-year difference. Anyway, well, excellent. This is great news that we got to that and that I got it right and that you also got it. No, you got it wrong. You got it wrong, didn't you? You were wrong.
I got it wrong. Yeah. I failed.
Don't feel too bad, though.
Oh, no.
No. Take
that's okay, because what I was going to do, I actually backtracked. I had captured clips and everything, and I was going to make you do an Amiga game. But I was like, there's no way in hell I'll get one of
these. No, I'll never get that. I never had one. So, yeah, those are sometimes a little bit harder. But that's why I've been thinking about this more and more. We should have, like, a structure to the way we get to ask our three questions. Like,
a good idea.
Ways of narrowing it down, basically. We just we take from, like, the trivia games people use where they have to say stuff.
Yes.
Like, is it green? No.
Yeah, like have five questions or something, something like that.
Yeah, and try to narrow it down from that. And then we can get into the obscure stuff that neither of us have ever heard of.
Yeah, you know? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, we'll have to think about it. All right, speaking of thinking, it's time for emails and texts. We got one here. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is where it came. This is Les Orchard. And really, we could use a lot less Orchard.
Oh, right? Les. What's up, Les?
We need more Orchard.
Less is more.
Been happily listening to the show for about a year, and you've covered a lot of stuff. Oh. You guys ever considered door games from dial-up BBSs in the 80s and 90s? That's D-O-O-R games.
Yep.
This came to mind after reading Kevin Driscoll's book, The Modern World, and seeing that today in BBS Day, that today is BBS Day. I'm not sure when he sent this.
Oh, is that? When was this? Yeah, I didn't even know that was a BBS Day. Oh.
You can go to bbsday.org and find out more.
Yeah, door party at throwback. Go ahead.
Fine. I'm looking right here. Oh, this is weird. This scene is like an extended family. Lots of great personalities in place. Sometimes you can be closer. What?
I love how we've stopped the show and we're just reading
it. Yeah, this is the cool. It looks like it's just a cool BBS site about the BBSs, and I guess you can still get these, or you can still run
that's
them.
Interesting.
Weird. BBSs were, there was a time in my life Well, that's the only thing I cared about was going to a BBS. I mean, running my own.
And that's how like stuff like Doom and shareware, it changed everything.
It did. And it was so hackery and weird and just everything was made out of ASCII text and didn't take long to learn it. But once you did, you were like, I had one running at our office that had a T1 line. So we were always like,
you had an Arnold like Schwarzenegger jet? Oh, that's T.
Yeah, the T-1000 line. That's what we had.
Yeah.
The Robert Patrick line. Anyway, says, this came to mind after reading this thing. He says, I fired up a little a modem BBS of my own and started tinkering and installing some ancient DOS door games, which have been so much fun to play. You can find him at bbs.decafbad.com. But my BBS is a bit bare bones right now. If you want to look at some big libraries and ready to play door games, check these guys out. And he gives us some links, BBS link at bbslink.net. Door party is over at throwbackbbs.com. Anyways, I especially recommend some of my favorites, Lord of the Red Dragon, Operation Overkill, Trade Wars 2002, and Solar Realms Elite, says Les Orchard. Seems cool, man.
I remember Trade Wars. I seem like I remember that one.
I feel like most of my time was serving up GIFs and copies of Doom Wads. I never really got into like, here's a bunch of separate little games. I never did that. Yeah. Not really into that part of it, but maybe it's because my 28K modem sucked ball nuts. I don't know. It was a long time
ago. You had a 28, I think I had like, what was it? There's a 14.4. What was it before that? The 9600 ball?
9600, then before that, 2400. Dual channel. See, dual channel didn't happen until 14.4, I think.
Yeah.
I used to sell these at a company I worked for.
Right.
And they were always not Western Digital.
Trade Wars 2002. This is one I'm interested in. It seems like I played this one before. It came out in 1986, was among the earliest multiplayer online games.
Yeah, and if you missed that era, KT days, right? You ended up in the forums and IRC days. Yeah. It's not that different. You know, Usenet, like there's this whole era that runs kind of, it all bleeds together a little bit.
Yeah.
But the thing about BBSs that made it unique was it meant a dude like me or Brian could just have a wild hair and make a cool BBS.
Yeah, we could.
And
Let's do it now.
It was like it predated the web. It was so cool. Oh, yeah. U.S. Robotics. That's who made the 14.4s that we sold like crazy.
Yes.
We sold more 14.4 U.S. Robotics modems than anything else, I swear, in that time.
That was stupid. It's like the weirdest looking 70s looking box, though. At least it does in my mind now.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure. It's janky looking, but man, those were reliable and fast.
These were solid, man. Yeah. U.S. Robotics made the best.
Yeah. Are they still? I don't know if they're still around, are they? U.S. Robotics.
I don't know, but I remember that 56K modem box like it was yesterday, as well as all these other 56 modems. And the 14.4s. God, this stuff is just like, it looks like a little home scanner or something. It was.
Oh, yeah. And they called it the Sportster line. 14.4 Sportster.
Oh, man. We have to have a whole U.S. Robotics.
Yeah.
There is usrobotics.com. Let's see. What is this? Enterprise grade Internet of Things, cloud computing and communication. Interesting.
They're still around. Still got their stuff going on.
The name is still around. But as we know, Atari, just because your name is around, it doesn't mean that you're the same place.
Well, it says here, U.S. Robotics Corporation is called USR in a lot of places. A company that produces U.S. products, computer modems, related products. Initial marketing was aimed at bulletin board systems. Let's see.
People trying to initialize their modems in the chat room. I hope you're happy.
They branched out new. Oh, the company purchased Palm. Oh, that's right. They owned Palm and the Palm Pilots for a while. But itself was purchased by 3Com soon after. 3Com spun off USR again in 2000, keeping Palm and returning USR to the now much smaller modem market. After 2004, the company is formerly known USR. USR is now a division of Unicom Global and is one of the only few providers left in the modem market today. They employ about 125 people worldwide. So.
Interesting.
Small bit.
Sticking with the modem, huh? Yep. All right.
Yep. I guess so. Stay with what you're good at, I guess. I don't know.
Right. All right.
I have fond feelings about that era, though.
Yeah, I do too. I have fond feelings. I have fond memories. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not
as well.
I
you should
want to go back to it.
Here's a quick text from listener David, who wrote in this text to 801-471-0462. You can use that for both texts and for voicemails. We'd be happy to have that played right here on the show, so send us your voicemails. David says this, in the end of your recent Play Retro, y'all discussed What's Retro? That was the big question we posed.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd add my two cents in case it becomes a longer discussion. For me, anything older than two console generations, since at that point, those that are not in production and are generally only available secondhand. For PlayStation and Xbox, that would be a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox 360. For Nintendo, that's the Wii, as the Wii U is more of its own console, with Wii U games not being able to run on the Wii system. You'll note that these are all released around 2005, 2006, and had their sunsets around 2012, 2013. While these are the most recent generations of what we may consider retro, it may feel off to some because of the jump between what came before to those generations was such a huge leap. Anyhow, that's my two cents. I kind of feel similar feeling about this.
We're pretty close because we generally don't go past 2002, but of course that's going to change as we keep moving forward.
Yeah.
So
we did some GameCube stuff that put us a little further, and I do GBA talk sometimes that's putting us further.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't know, like people who want to keep it strictly in the pixelated market. I got better when I say pixels, I mean like, you know, pixel art or whatever, 2D stuff.
So yeah, so sprites instead of 3D stuff.
Yeah, the bad news is
Some people are like, no, if it's 3D, then no.
Yeah, the bad news is the pixel stuff to this day is really rad. So do you count stuff put out last week on Steam? Like, I don't think that can be the one denomination. So there's got to be a time factor. I don't know. I'm still not totally convinced on what it means. I think most people would say, well, if you're talking about anything pre 1995. That's a safe zone to call. That's retro, like 70s up through the mid 90s. But if you go much past that, you start getting people getting picky about it. And I understand why they do. Yeah. But
because if you ask my 15-year-old, if you go, "Oh, is the Wii U retro or the Wii is retro?" Yeah.
To them, the Wii is totally retro. That's ancient news to them. That thing.
Yeah, ancient.
My son was 6. He's 21 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that came out. So,
yeah.
When I was 6, what it would have been the 2600,
right?
Atari 2600. Did I at age 21 look back and think any different than I did? I would have said, yeah, the 2800 or 2600 is definitely retro.
Yeah,
and it was the same amount of time as Nick is from the Wii. We just have to get used to the idea that time is the same for everybody. It's just we perceive it different because we're older. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, I want to say to David, that's a great email.
Yeah,
a great way to break it down. Thank you so much. Not email, text rather. 801-471-0462 is the text number. Brian, our next discussion this very next coming week is going to be about Star Fox. Why, you ask? Because Star Fox is hitting its 30th anniversary this year.
That's definitely retro. 30 years ago, we saw that Star Fox make his appearance. Yes.
Star Fox 1, 2, and 2 didn't even show up till recently.
Yeah, we got that on the SNES Mini, I believe it was.
Yeah, SNES Mini had a Star Fox 2 on there. A bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Star Fox 64, the assault game on GameCube. We're going to talk about Star Fox. We're going to do a barrel roll. We're going to see what Slippy has to say. Slippy Toad.
And then I'm going to also try to slip in Star Fox Assault on the GameCube and see how many people tell me it's not retro.
Yeah, that'll be fun to do. That'll be fun. I actually quite like that game. That game was good.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to play it for sure either way, whether we end up talking much about it or not. And then we can say, oh, yeah, that is so antiquated. Everything about it is so old.
It's so funny, too, because the original Star Fox was known for being a cutting edge at the time thing. It used that FX chip, which nothing else had used yet. The first FX chip used was in that cartridge. Mm-hmm. And everybody lost their minds and they couldn't believe the 3D they were getting.
Yeah. And but now it's pretty much the Star Wars games is all on rails. You're just kind of like going...
Oh, yeah.
Straight.
Yeah, you just go straight, shoot stuff.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, hello, this is Slippy. You're a dick. And then keep flying. Anyway, Star Fox, the weird Nintendo offshoot animal pilotry business. We'll talk about it at age 30 next week, right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, I would love it if more of you joined us at patreon.com/playretro, like Wayne Dixon did this week. Why did Wayne Dixon join? Well, he has his own reasons, but I'll bet among them are never having to have an ad ever. You'll never hear a commercial. You get pre-show content every day, or every show that we do, and monthly benefits that you'll only get by becoming a member. patreon.com/playretro is the place to go, and now is the time to do it. Thank you to everybody who's already in there. We really appreciate it. In the meantime, playretroshow at gmail.com, playretroshow on Twitter, and you can also find everything else at frogpants.com/playretro. Hey, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'll be back Thursday, 6 p.m. to play Star Fox and probably through the weekend. So if you tune in to Brian Dunaway on Twitch TV, that's where I'll be.
Yeah, go do that. Watch Brian play a little bit of Fox Flying. That's what they almost called it. Fox Flying before it became
Fox Flying. Yeah, I mean, like, if you like ever are curious, like, oh, how do you sell this retro crap up, man? Every week I have tech troubleshooting Thursdays where I have to figure out how to freaking do the games the week.
Yep, it's hard. Yeah, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch you get frustrated and swear accidentally. I like it.
Son of a.
I'm a fan. Brian can swear like nobody's business when he's really pissed. It's great. You guys should hear it more often. I only get to hear it off air, but once in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm profane. I had to get it out.
Gotta get it out, or else you're going to get the diarrhea of the mouth. You don't want that.
No.
All right. That is it for us. Thank you all for listening, being here, hanging out, and otherwise being awesome. We'll be back next week with more. Go play something retro. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
When you go into space.
That's right, kid.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsitis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.